And welcome back to Open House with Mark Sewick and Corey James Moran, brought to you by the Mark Sewick team at Keller Williams, a Greater Rochester Real Estate Podcast. This is episode number 2, and this week we're going to be talking about setting expectations if you're a seller. Mark, how are we doing?
I'm great. How are you doing today, Corey?
Doing fantastic.
Good.
Certainly appreciate anyone who is listening to the second episode. Hope you enjoyed the first one. If you're listening to this for the very first time you're experiencing our podcast, of course, encourage you to go back and listen to last week as well, where we broke down the scorching hot real estate market.
And we landed, what, in the top 10 nationally of new podcasts?
I think we were just below Joe Rogan,
yeah.
just a little bit.
Exactly.
I assume our multi-billion dollar Spotify deal is episode 5 we're searching for. So we will see. But yeah, certainly encourage you to listen to that if you didn't. But thank you again for joining us. Mark, one of the things that we're going to do every single week is to continue to give market updates of what's happening. Because as we know, as we talked about last week with real estate, it ebbs and flows. And it's not going to be drastic changes from week to week, but I feel like especially you, with the amount of experience that you have, you try to project what's going to be happening. So from last week to this week, any kind of changes at all, or any kind of guesses?
We did not plan this, I swear to God. The question is really a timely question, and only in the past day or two have I started to have a different kind of conversation with my sellers.
Interesting.
Yeah, and so, you know, as I said, I think last week, I've been forecasting for the past few months that as we inch closer toward herd immunity, as more and more Americans are being vaccinated, as the weather starts to get warmer, and I swear to God, any day now, right?
Apparently, here's the thing. We get one nice day. We're not allowed to have two in a row. We only get one nice day. Mother Nature's just teasing us.
Until the 15th of May. And
right.
then boom. So as all those things start to happen, I was predicting that more and more men and women are going to start to put their homes on the market for sale. And that's exactly what has started to take place. And so it's still, and it will remain for the remainder of this year and probably even next year, it will remain one of the best. It will remain a great market for sellers. However, just that absolute peak of the market, top of the market, it's starting to fall by the wayside just a little bit. And so you know, for instance, instead of getting 16 offers on a property, you know, properties are now getting, say, 8 or 10.
Right.
And nothing drastic. But nevertheless, I do think it's the start of a trend that's going to be playing out. So what we're doing actually is trying to encourage our sellers to put their homes on the market for sale as quickly as they can. And certainly, I think that come Memorial Day, there will be more and more product. And that'll mean, you know, properties will still sell well, and sellers will do very well. They just won't be selling at the exact top.
Exactly. I know from my experience, so how our team works, just for context sake, Mark, you handle the majority of the sellers. And then there's another handful of us that we primarily work with buyers.
Yeah, and sales executives. Yeah, you work with the buyers. Yeah.
Yeah. I know from several of my buyers that they have been making comments of just, oh, it seems like there's more things popping up than before. So I would echo exactly what you said, where it seems to be heading in that direction. Now, again, can't stress enough how much it's going to take to flip this. Nowhere near that by any means whatsoever. But still, I mean, from going to 16 offers to 8 offers, that doubles your chances of getting that
absolutely.
Bid.
I mean, you know, and just to put it into context, as we said last week, 5 years ago there were 7,500 homes on the market for sale. Right now there are fewer than 1,000, but it is starting to inch up. So 3 weeks ago, you would go to the multiple listing service, you'd see that there were maybe six new listings coming in the market for sale per day. Yesterday, there were 19 new listings.
There you go.
So, okay. You know, we've tripled the amount of the number of properties coming in the market for sale.
All right. So this is more time than ever because, as you mentioned, we're kind of at the tippy top here, maybe coming down just a little bit from where sellers can make the absolute most on their home. So it's something you want to take advantage of. And that is why it's time to set some expectations
for
sellers. This is a conversation that is happening in homes, as we mentioned last week, across the country. Do you think we should sell our house?
Yeah.
What do you think we could get?
And that conversation is happening, and it's really interesting because everybody, in fact, well, just before we started, you were on the phone with somebody, and she's like, should I sell my house? I mean, my God, I'm going to make all this money. But then what was the question that she asked you?
Where do I go?
Exactly. Yes, so
there's that.
You know, and there are strategies that we certainly have in place for that type of thing. You know, in being able to negotiate, say, a 3-month closing instead of traditional 6-week closing. Or as a number of people have done, they've actually sold their property, pocketed all that cash, and moved into an apartment.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So. One option. And then, of course, the steps that you have to take to get your home listed. For a lot of people, it seems like it can be a really stressful thing, right? But that is where real estate agents come into play. This is our job, to take something that is indeed an incredibly stressful situation and try to make it as de-stressful as possible. And certainly we have a bunch of different materials that you can see at our website. Again,
sure.
MarkSiwik.com.
And how do you spell that, Corey?
MarkSiwiec.com.
Wow, did I'm nail impressed.
It?
Yeah,
I mean, it's my email address is in there, so I probably should know it at this point. But we have a lot of tips there and checklists, quite honestly, that will help you manage that. So before you even think about selling your home, you want to think about, what do we need to do to prepare?
The website is really helpful. And the checklists and the blogs that are on there, lots and lots and lots of blogs. That's all really helpful, but and I know that I keep bringing this back to, but I think it's important to keep bringing it back to real life experiences. So I had just a heartbreaking conversation with a woman about 11:30 this morning, and I knew this conversation was coming. Over the course of the past 30 days, this woman's husband has been diagnosed as having cancer, and it's just terrible. And I speak to them twice a week, and they're like, and I know what they're doing. They know that they have to sell, but they did not want to emotionally, because the minute they said they were selling their property, it was an admission that indeed this is a gentleman had very serious cancer and was going to be leaving his house. And the conversation that we had today was, okay, but I'm probably going to need help taking things off of my countertops,
sure,
and storing them, or taking things off of the wall. How do I do that? And so the website is terrific in terms of knowing what it is that you need to do. But one of the reasons that we've got 5 paid full-time assistants is to make sure that we're just offering that added support for somebody who's in this kind of situation, so that we'll go out there and we'll do a color consult, or we'll refer contractors to do wallpaper removal, or in this case, Yvonne, our operations manager, she went out there the other day and she literally started helping this woman pack things up and move things off of countertops. And you know what? A big part of this, a big component, and you did it the other day with a client, just offering emotional support.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah, huge.
Our homes, we put a lot into them, a lot of love into them. So it certainly makes sense that there is that strong emotional tie.
Yeah, absolutely.
Obviously you want to get your house prepared. Then what is next? What happens once your house gets listed? Prepare yourself for, I don't know, Mark, what, 4 days, 5 days? Maybe go to the hotel, find one with a pool, hang out for a little bit.
Well, it's funny. We used to encourage people, okay, you're going to get your hardwood floors redone. Listen, go and check into the Marriott for 2 days because the smell is just going to drive you from the house. Now we're actually encouraging our clients to do something very similar when their home is on the market for sale. And there's an algorithm that's been playing out, and most agents, we're listing homes for sale on a Wednesday. We're telling prospective buyers through the multiple listing service that all 1st showings will take place on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And our clients literally need to leave the house. And so they're moving in with in-laws, or they're going on a weekend vacation, because we are slotting and walking prospective buyers through in half-hour blocks from 9 in the morning until 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock at night. We had a property in Warrington about a month and a half ago. We had 75 showings over a 3-day period of time. Agents on Sunday at 4 in the afternoon were calling furious that they couldn't get through. I had to call my clients, and we had to open up more blocks on Monday morning. And then what ends up happening is we tell all the prospective buyers and their agents that all offers are due at noon, and then we spend 3 or 4 hours, Yvonne, our transaction coordinator, will spend 3 or 4 hours creating spreadsheets so that we can just logically go through and explain the multiple offers to our sellers so they can make logical decisions.
And this is something that is more because of this trend. This wasn't typically how things were done,
no,
even just how long ago?
four months ago. So, I mean, creating these spreadsheets was something that Yvonne started doing a few months, because there was no other way of just being able to sift through 16 offers and try to figure out which is the best offer for offer. You got to get yourself organized.
Absolutely. Now, let's dive into that. Multiple offers. Because again, it's so commonplace now. How do you distinguish between, I mean, price is an obvious thing, right? But it gets so much deeper than that.
It is so nuanced at this point in time. So price is obviously the big concern. But then conditions are enormous. So a lot of buyers are writing offers without engineer's inspections. And actually, you know what? Why don't we do it this way? I'll mention something, and then you work mostly with buyers. Why don't we talk a little bit about what you're doing? So when I'm representing a seller, I'm looking at a contract to see if there are any engineer's inspections. But a lot of buyers don't want to actually purchase a property without having an engineer walk through. What is your strategy as a buyer's agent to help them through that process?
So we have found a little bit of a workaround.
Yeah.
And it's not the traditional hour and a half, 2 hour long inspection that, you know, our parents would think of from back in the day. It's just those things are not typical anymore. It does really hurt your offer when you're going up against so many others who are saying, I'm going to waive it. But again, I certainly understand that you want to have some of that peace of mind and some of that protection. So what we have done, and with the permission, of course, of the seller, yep, you can't just go and do this. They need to approve it. But you can hire one of these companies and they bring an inspector out and we'll do a 30-minute walkthrough. And we'll, and you know, we have our expertise, but we're not inspectors. There's so much more that goes into that. So you have them, you walk through the house for 30 minutes and they point out different things and they tell you, and things that you would have never probably known, they can point out to you. And then you can come to terms with, okay, I'm willing to deal with the fact that this roof is, they say it's, you know, 19 years old and things are starting to peel, and they explain to me it could cost this dependent upon what's happening. At least then you know. So that's kind of the happy medium. Now, having the time to do that is certainly an important thing, which is why we try to be, just jump on these as quickly as they can. Once something is listed, we try to get our buyers in there to take a look, make sure they like it.
On day one. Because on day two, yep, if they like it,
then the inspector can come through, you can schedule that. And it's all very, it's very quick turnaround right now.
Very, very, very quick.
So that's the happy medium that we have found. Because as we were talking about right now, the leverage and the advantage is in the court of the seller for almost everything. So this is kind of the one thing that we're still holding on to when it comes to the buyer. And I don't know, personally, I've yet to have any seller say no when it comes to that.
Exactly, because everybody benefits. Everybody benefits. So when I'm looking at these offers on behalf of sellers and I'm coaching them, we actually create three or four piles. So the first pile is anybody who has seen the property online and actually hasn't walked through, but they're writing an offer from Boston without ever having, we literally just take that, we just toss it. That is just too dangerous, because the probability that somebody is going to drive in from Boston, walk through a property and not love it, that's pretty high. So then we're left with three other piles. One pile are those prospective buyers who have a mortgage contingency, but the mortgage is specifically being secured through big box banks, Bank of America, M&T, HSBC, KeyBank, any of these big box, they're so large and there are so many hundreds of thousands of mortgage applications being processed that the servicing is just usually, so that they are the least interesting offers to us.
I was just actually explaining that to a buyer just before we started recording, because she said, well, I've been going with this bank. And I said, they're great for your checking and they're great for your savings and all that.
Yes.
But when it comes down to it, being able to pick up my phone and call and not go through 19 different automated, having to hit the keypad to actually talk to a person. I mean, it makes the process so much easier.
Well, so you're starting to describe the second pile then, yeah, that I'm looking at. So the second pile are those buyers who have a mortgage application, but they're using a local bank, Genesee Regional Bank, Eastman Savings and Loan, Pittsburgh Federal Credit Union, Premium Mortgage. These are all great, and in part they're great for exactly the reasons that you're describing, which is the ease of use. I mean, Majua. We use Majua from Genesee Regional Bank quite a bit. have you, I mean, I've any number of occasions, 8 o'clock on a Saturday night,
right.
You know, 10:30 on a Sunday morning. And this is exactly what you were describing to your client a few moments ago.
The accessibility, it's such a huge advantage. And it just makes the process so much smoother, really, from all aspects of it. And yeah, Majua is, it's shocking to me. Sometimes it's like Sunday at 3 p.m. I sent an email out introducing him to a potential new buyer. And 3:45, he's emailing back. It's like, dude, it's the weekend. Take a little time.
But it's the reason that he's the number one mortgage originator in town.
Absolutely.
I think, you know, $75 million or something insane last year, which is crazy.
Jeez, wow.
So that final pile, the final pile of purchase offers that we're looking at, we're trying to figure out, those are obviously all cash. And it is shocking. I don't know where this cash is coming from, but it is shocking the number of buyers who are coming to the table with all cash offers. And that's been a really, really fascinating phenomenon that's been playing out this year. So
we should probably break down just quickly, because people probably know, most people know, I feel like cash is king, right? That's the old phrase of what exactly is the benefit with having cash over even a very local conventional mortgage.
Sure. I think that there are a few benefits. One, because these are just razor thin decisions that are being made, if you have the ability, if somebody can demonstrate that they have all the cash needed and they don't have to actually make a mortgage application, just that level of certainty is just fantastic. But there's also another issue, which is the issue of appraisal.
Mm-hmm.
So if a property is listed for $250,000 and we've got a buyer who's writing an offer, and I'm not making this up, this is actually happening. We get a $250,000 listing and it's selling. We're securing a $350,000 purchase offer.
Jeez.
Yeah, kind of crazy. So that the bank needs to send an appraiser through the property. Well, if it appraises out for $325,000, there's a gap there of $25,000 that the buyer may not want to pay. And so, and I don't want to get too deep into the weeds, but that's one of the second benefits of going all cash, that you don't have an issue of appraisal. What happens if somebody wrote a $350,000 offer and the appraisal comes back at $325,000?
Right.
So, yeah, insane.
So a lot of times there will be offers where maybe a conventional mortgage goes higher than the cash offer. And, you know, Mark, you'll advise them, I'd take the cash offer.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We did it just last week. Our clients, the sellers, very wisely sold their property $5,000 below the next best offer. The next best offer, the highest offer, happened to be contingent upon the buyer securing a mortgage. You know, so they sold it $95,000 over asking price,
right,
instead of $100,000.
Are they going to be okay?
Yeah, exactly.
So. Absolutely crazy. But yeah, that's kind of what's happening with when it comes to so many different offers and what it is that you want to look at and try to understand. And again, we might be biased considering what we do, but having a real estate agent to go through that for you. Like, can you imagine someone just trying to do that on their own? Just the layman person that doesn't have all of that knowledge. I mean, the average person would probably look and say, this one's the highest offer. I'll go for that.
Right, right. Or, you know, how do you manage 16 offers? Actually, even before you get to the 16 offers, how is it that you generate 16 offers? And there's a real skill to that. You know, I mean, just one example. I will traditionally, as an agent representing a seller, I will not tell agents who are representing buyers that we have an offer in hand until they've walked their buyer through. And the reason is I've got a financial responsibility to the seller of the property. I want to make sure that I'm not telling them that there's an offer in hand because it may dissuade them from walking through the property.
Sure. Yeah.
Only after they've walked through the property will I say, oh, by the way, if you're interested, we happen to have an offer in hand. If you're a layman and you don't understand that sort of nuance and subtlety, you may be inadvertently just telling, hey, we got an offer in hand, and boom, all of a sudden you've got buyers not walking through because they've been dissuaded from doing so.
Right. So, all right. So we have all of our offers. There's multiple offers, and we decide which one we like the best. And then, Mark, you call the 25 agents who did not prevail.
Well, I give that terrible task to Yvonne, our transaction coordinator.
Shout out to
Yeah, so that she's dealing with the slings and arrows.
Listen,
yeah.
I've been on the other side of that quite often recently, and it's not a typically fun conversation.
No.
So once you get past all that and the prevailing offer has been alerted, What are the next steps from there?
At that point in time, it depends on the contingencies or the terms of the offer, but we will certainly and absolutely have to get the contract to attorneys for their approval, which take place usually within 3 days of the offer being accepted. We've got to accept an earnest money check, and so that's important. There may or may not be an inspection in this day and age. There's probably not an inspection. There may or may not. And by the way, the engineers.
I know.
I mean, my God. I mean, these are guys who make their life as a result of walking through properties day in and day out during the height of the market, and their services are no longer required. So the casualties associated with the pandemic, and these disruptions that take place. Now, this one in particular having to do with engineers, I don't know how they're making ends meet because their services are not required.
No.
Anyway, but back to the question. The final thing is we will then either secure evidence that the buyer has necessary funds, or we will make sure that they've actually applied for their mortgage. And then, if all goes well, 8 weeks later, we'll transfer title.
And it's, 8 weeks, maybe, dependent upon the seller. This is one of the points that we wanted to bring up was the fact that sellers are certainly taking advantage of the extra leverage that they have. I mean, I'm just trying to think recently, there was one that made the sale contingent upon them finding housing.
Yep.
So that's a thing you'll see a lot.
Yep.
Some will say, yeah, we'd like to, we'll close, but we want to rent till August.
Yeah, well, you know, and there are any number of people who do want to stay in their house through the end of summer. They want to enjoy their pool.
Sure.
Or, yeah, so that's been very, very, very common. So it used to be impossible up until 4 months ago to negotiate, or very, very difficult, I should say. It was difficult to negotiate anything other than an 8-week closing. And now 12-week, 14-week closings are, I mean, I did one with Mark Crandall on our team. I negotiated an offer last October that closed, actually a year ago October, that closed in May.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, yeah. I mean, that was incredible. Yeah.
Yeah. So that is kind of what's happening. So a quick recap of the advantages if you're a seller. Everything. No, but specifically, obviously you're getting more.
Yes.
And this is a big advantage. The process is more streamlined and faster than it typically is. I mean, as you mentioned before, listing on a Wednesday, offers in by Monday, it's a relatively painless thing to go through. And it's ripping the Band-Aid off, right? It's a quick process.
Yes.
So there's that. And then there's all of the additional things that you can put in that you want, the demands that you want to make.
Yep. Yep.
It's really stacked in the seller's advantage for sure.
Absolutely. And it will remain thus for the next, for the foreseeable future. No two ways about it.
Absolutely. So the other thing that as a seller you need to think about, and we briefly touched on it, but we'll expand more on this next episode, is, well, great, you got your $100,000 over asking that you wanted, but where do you go?
That's a tough one.
Yeah.
And so we'll spend a good 20 minutes, half hour on that next week.
Absolutely. Yeah. Next week.
Well, between now and then, we'll have to figure out what our answer is going to be.
We got a couple. I think so. Yes. Next week on the podcast, we will talk about expectations if you're a buyer. Listen, we're always going to be honest with you.
Oh, yeah. You're going to buyers, sellers, they're going to find out eventually.
And obviously, you just listened through the past 25 minutes of what we've been saying to be a seller. And if you're from a buyer's perspective, you're probably thinking, oh, crap. I do want to say this, though. It's not impossible by any means.
No. No. And it's going to become easier and easier over the course of... I think that it's just imperative. Part of what's playing out right now is the great divide, the growing divide that exists between the haves and the have-nots in this country. And buying a house and creating, increasing your wealth as a result of growing equity in your personal residence is so important. So even though this may be a difficult process, and I do think it'll be a process that will be made easier for buyers as the months pass,
sure,
and more properties are coming on the market for sale, I just think it's so important that if you can afford to buy a house, jump in now, do it as quickly as you can, and just get on that train.
Absolutely. So we'll dive into it more next week. If you enjoy this episode and you haven't listened to the previous episode, please go do that. like, share if you see this on social media. Mark, we're now available where you can find all of your podcasts, and we're on Apple Podcasts now. I saw that just happened.
You gotta be, I did not know that. That's
and then
great.
I'm still waiting for the $5 billion check from Spotify to come through.
Yeah, yeah. So Tim Cook himself requested?
Obviously, yes.
Yes, yeah.
He was curious, so he just wanted to.
Is that why Zuckerberg called me the other day?
Yeah,
must be. Yeah.
Exactly, for sure. So please, you can rate, certainly. We always love 5-star ratings. Can't beat that. And if we always like to say, if you want to check out a little bit of real estate porn, as we like to call it, you can go to, again, marksiwiec.com.
MarkSiwiec. Real quickly, just before we end, we haven't listed anything in the past week or so, but this coming month, we have upwards of 21 new listings coming. Yeah. So, and there are just some great properties. So, the website is great. And there are 3D tours of these homes, and it really is fun. Corey, the last thing on my end.
Yeah.
How do people get in touch with you if they'd like?
Of course. Yeah. I'm right there on the website. Go right to the sales executives. You can give me a call, 607-341-1230. I am local. I should probably explain. People are like, Southern Tier number? Listen, I've had it since I was 16. I'm a very loyal guy. And I'm very sentimental, so I can't let go of it. But I promise you, I am here. I do serve the greater Rochester area, and I certainly would be happy to help you try and find that home.
Give me the number one more time.
607-341-1230.
Terrific.
I know, it sounds like it's like a business number, right?
Yeah.
1230?
Yeah.
I got lucky. What can I say? Thank you again for listening, and we will talk to you again next week.